international news now, and specifically to the Middle East, where there's mounting concern of a wider regional war after Israel's bombardment of southern Lebanon and Hezbollah's retaliatory strikes. Both sides are intimating there could be more to come. We're joined now by the BBC's Middle East analyst, Sebastian Usher. Sebastian, Israel said it dispatched 100 of its warplanes on the basis of intelligence that Hezbollah was about to mount an attack. What do we know, if anything, about this intelligence?
Well, essentially, yes, this is what Israel's narrative about what happened early on Sunday morning is, that and that it was kind of prepared in advance. There was a feeling from what the IDF and the government was saying in a couple of days previous to this, that they believed an attack was imminent and that they were going to take measures. So, yeah, what the Israeli army is saying is that Hezbollah was about to launch a much bigger attack than the one that happened in the end, and that the preemptive strike, as Israel called it, destroyed thousands of rocket launches and prevented what might have been a much bigger and potentially more catastrophic attack. Hezbollah dismisses this, says it's lies. The chief of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah, made a speech several hours after all of this had happened and said that the attack that Hezbollah carried out was a very measured one, that they spent a lot of time working on how they were going to carry it out, that they fired more than 300 rockets, but the rockets were essentially fired in order to try to divert the Israeli defense system, Iron Dome, to allow drones, which were specifically targeting a Mossad intelligence base quite deep in Israel, which was the primary target, according to Hassan Nasrallah. Now, we don't know if that was hit in any way. The indications are that it wasn't. There was nothing that Hassan Nasrallah gave that gave any proof that it had been struck. There's a sort of news blackout from Israel about what happened, but I think we would know by now if that had been struck. But the message that Hassan Nasrallah was trying to give was that this was very much a targeted, thought-out strike, and it was intended not to lead to a larger widening of the conflict that's been going on for months between Israel and Hezbollah. And the message from Israel is similar, although both, as you say, have said that there might be more to come on this kind of scale. Nasrallah himself said that if it proved inadequate what Hezbollah had achieved, then it would take another step similar to this. And the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said that this is a first step in trying to deal with this problem. Now, the problem, as far as Israel is concerned, is that around 80,000 of its people up in the north have had to be evacuated. They want to get back home, obviously, but it's too dangerous. The security situation doesn't allow it at the moment. So although I think in some ways for the region and the world, it's sort of good news that this heavy potential really serious escalation that had been hanging over this conflict for several weeks after a Hezbollah top commander was killed in Beirut by Israel seems to have not pushed the conflict beyond its red lines. But the issue is still there. The possibility of it veering off into a more dangerous road remains. And as far as the Israeli government is concerned, it still needs to push Hezbollah back in some way. It needs to stop the attacks that are happening on a daily basis to allow those people to return to their homes as soon as possible.
To what extent is Israel responsible for what happened at the weekend? After all, it's widely believed that its agents assassinated Hezbollah's military commander, Fuad Shukr, and that meant there was always going to be retaliation.
Well, exactly. And I mean, this is an assassination that actually Israel acknowledged. It doesn't always, but this one it did specifically. Now, it carried out that attack in response to the killing of 12 children in the Golan Heights, in a Druze village, which Israel regards as part of Israel. That's the kind of miscalculation that can happen. And so essentially they blamed Hezbollah for the rocket that caused that number of deaths. And the killing of Shukr was in response. Hezbollah had vowed a very harsh revenge. And as I say, that was the dark shadow that was looming over the region over the past several weeks. It does seem that what happened yesterday was not on the kind of level, the kind of magnitude that some had expected. And it wasn't in conjunction, for example, with Iran, which is also promised revenge and is still saying that it will take some very strong action over the killing of the Hamas political leader, Ismail Haniyeh, in Iran, which happened just a few hours after the killing of Shuker. So yes, I mean, you could say that Israel is responsible for the Hezbollah response in this case, but it is a continual cycle, isn't it, of one attack after another, which is constantly pushing the dial up. But still, both sides clearly do not want this to become an all-out war. I think that's absolutely where we still stand. That hasn't changed since yesterday, but it is, you know, a problem that has not been resolved by what happened yesterday. And it's one that still has the potential of going into a much more dangerous phase.
Underlying what you're saying about Iran, its foreign minister told his Italian counterpart, I see in the wires, that Iran's response to Israel and that assassination will be definite, calculated and accurate. So it's still hanging there. But just to broaden our discussion a little bit, would it be fair to say that the US brokered ceasefire talks to de-escalate the war in Gaza and secure the release of hostages seems to be going nowhere?
I mean, it does from most of the indications that we're getting. I mean, not absolutely nowhere, but the obstacles that are there, the big obstacles, essentially, without getting into great detail, but it's essentially Hamas's demand a complete Israeli pullout of all its troops. And the Israeli government is not accepting that. It wants some to stay in certain key strategic areas. There are other issues too. But I think that's the key one at the moment. There was a hope, and the US was pushing this very hard because it is worried and was worried about what Hezbollah would do and still very worried about what Iran will do, and believes that if a Gaza ceasefire could be agreed, it could avert a major action taken by Iran, which could push things into a much more serious phase again. So, I mean, all the other sides, Hamas, the other mediators, what we're hearing from them are that this doesn't seem to be something that is surmountable at the moment. The talks are continuing, but the hopes that were being expressed a week ago have really dimmed.
BBC Middle East analyst Sebastian Usher, thank you very much for joining us.